Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. We do begin our revival services this morning, and as I said, continue tonight through Wednesday at 7 o'clock. I have known our speaker for about 40 years, and he and I attended the same church, Lawrenceville Baptist Church, for many years in Lawrenceville. We served on committees together, we served as deacons together, we argued with each other together in business meetings, and always after the meeting, we shook hands and hugged, and I couldn't ask for a better Christian brother than Tom Childers. He is truly a man after God's own heart. He serves now as pastor of James Square Baptist Church, and I truly feel they were fortunate to get him. He brings with him a wealth of knowledge about God's Word, and he's traveled that path that many of us have traveled, and he's reached the point that he has been being used by God to talk to others and to teach them about God's love and mercy. And I welcome you this morning, Tom, and we look forward to your messages during the week. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Earl.
You're welcome.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for that hand up to help me get back up on the stage. I am not young and energetic. I'm old and dedicated. Thank you, Earl. I'd like to introduce my wife, Barbara. She's with me this morning. And Barbara is activities director. That's not the correct name, but that's what it is. At Envoy in Lawrenceville. She's been there for, what, 25 years, Barbara? Something like that, anyway. And she is the most dedicated Christian woman that I've ever known. She supports me. I even believe she loves me. But anyway, thank you, Barbara, for your support. A couple of words about Earl. Earl mentioned the fact that we went to church together and we served on committees together. We served as deacons together. We went through a lot together, and he said that we argued. We did. We disagreed sometimes on items of church business. Never did either one of us get angry. Never did either one of us do anything or say anything hurtful to the other about the other. In my opinion, Earl Stanley is one of the most dedicated Christian men that I've ever met. Although we did not agree, our love for each other was much stronger than anything that we disagreed on. Earl Stanley has meant a lot to me during my lifetime and still means a lot to me. And his beautiful wife, Connie, I just can't say enough about her, so I won't. But she's a blessing to know her. She's a strong Christian lady, supports Earl in all that he does. And folks, I want to tell you one thing. A man cannot be an effective pastor unless his wife supports him. And one more thing, and then I'll get it right into what I'm supposed to be doing here. I'd just like to say that you all in this church, Ephesus Baptist Church, you are very fortunate to have a man of Earl Stanley's caliber serving as your pastor. And you did a good day's work when you got him here. I won't tell you that. But Earl, thank you for those kind words you said about me. I expected you to tell the truth, but I thank you for the kind words. So.
Thank you. You said exactly what I told you.
This week, the next few days, I would like for us to concentrate on thinking about discipleship. And in doing that, I'd like to begin today in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Verse 4 through 11. And all who have your Bibles, if you would find that. And when you have found it, I would ask that all who are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you not at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and to Judea, to Samaria, and to all the and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. While they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus whom you have seen taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word, and you may be seated. Thank you. Disciples. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. I am a firm believer in the blood of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, his resurrection, is the whole story of our salvation. Jesus spent 3 years ministering on this earth. He was crucified and was raised on the third day. He spent 40 days with his disciples after his death, after his resurrection. They still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. And you know, we sometimes look at the disciples and say, why didn't they understand? And the truth of the matter is that most of the time it seems that we don't understand. We don't understand. Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples. He spent another 40 days after he was risen. Jesus said to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised." God had promised the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told them about it, that the fact that the Holy Spirit was going to come. Now, it wasn't the fact that the Holy Spirit was not present is not what's going on here. The Holy Spirit has always been present. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's always been here. He's always been here. But God was sending the Holy Spirit on his disciples once Jesus got back to heaven. He was sending the power of the Holy Spirit that they needed to carry out the commission that Christ had given them. Jesus knew that they couldn't do it on their own. If we will just get the message that we can't do it on our own, then we can get the job done. The reason we don't get anything done is because we try to do it our way. And it doesn't work. Everything that I have ever tried to do on my own power, and with my own initiative and my own power, it has failed. Everything. I have not ever accomplished one single thing positive on my own. I need Jesus Christ. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. And you do too. Every single one of us needs the power of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish the work that Christ has left for us to do. The job's not done yet. The job's not done yet. You see, he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's everywhere. That's everybody. That's everybody. Does everybody know Christ? No. Why don't they? Why don't the people know Christ? Because we haven't told them. We haven't told them. You see, there's more to discipleship than being a person that says, I'm a disciple of Christ. I belong to Christ. I've given my life to Christ. That's great. That's the beginning. But there's more to it than that. It's being a disciple, being one who serves a master. A disciple serves a master. Our master is Jesus Christ. We are his servants. And in order to be a disciple, we have to do what Jesus told us to do. And Jesus told us to go to the ends of the earth. And you say, well, I'm not, Tom, I'm not going over there in the jungles in Africa. I probably won't either. But somebody will. And they need our support. When we support missionaries who are out in the field, we are doing God's work. We are being his disciples. You see, God doesn't want us to just give him what's left over. God wants what he needs, what the people need. God wants us to be servants and to be sacrificial servants. Give up something to serve God. Be a disciple. Be dedicated to God. Be dedicated. Jesus told his disciples to go all over the world and spread the message. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. So they went in and eaten together. They asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to set up your kingdom in Israel? Here again, they still didn't get it. He had spent 3 years teaching them, performing miracles, doing all wonders. He died. They knew he rose from the dead. He came back and showed them. He showed them. They still didn't believe it. Are you getting ready to set up your kingdom, Jesus? Are you getting ready to set up his kingdom here in Israel? They still didn't understand the kingdom at this point. However, later on this week, or sometime in this series of revival messages, we are going to see how they did receive it, how they finally received the message. But he told them, it's not for you to know. You don't know the time or the date. You don't know. There are all kinds of people that are making predictions of when the end times are coming. And people are writing books and everything and selling all kinds of stuff. And you can buy this many CDs for $40 and tells you all about the end times. And you can buy this book about the end times and all of this stuff. And it's going to happen on such and such a date and such and such a thing. They're even talking about the blood moon is a sign of the end time. Folks, we don't know. We don't know. Jesus said, told his disciples after his resurrection, It is not for you to know the times or the dates. The Father has set them by his own authority. And we don't know. So rather than us trying to guess when Jesus is coming back, and he is coming back, and rather than us trying to guess when he's coming back, let's just be ready when he gets here. Let's just be ready when he gets here. And how do we get ready? We get ready by being a full-blooded, biblical disciple. Not a disciple like we want to be, but a disciple like God wants us to be. Not just doing the things that we like to do, but getting out of our comfort zone. Getting in places that's not comfortable for us. Doing things that we really don't like to do, but they need to be done anyway. And somebody needs to do them. Why not me? Jesus loved me enough to go on a cross and stretched out his arms and was nailed to a cross and died for me and for you. Why can't I get out of my comfort zone and do something to please him, to spread his message, to do something to help somebody that needs some help? There are people all around us that can need help. They need spiritual help. They need emotional help. People need love. People need to be loved. If I don't love you, then I'm not doing what God has called me to do. If you don't love me, you're not doing what God has called you to do. God told us to love each other as he loved us. And if we're not doing that, there are people out there who need compassion. They need love. Some need monetary help. They need a hand up. They need a hand up. They need for us to love them, to care for them, and to show them Jesus Christ and how we minister to them. After he told them that they didn't know when he was going, when he was coming back, and he told them to go all over the world, spread the gospel, they stood there and they watched Jesus go up into the clouds. Scripture here says he was hidden behind a cloud. Two men came and stood beside them, dressed in solid white. Why are you looking for Jesus? Why are you looking up in the clouds? He's gone, but he's coming back in the same way that he went. He's coming back. Folks, this is not something to play with. This is serious business. The business of Jesus Christ is serious business. The reason this world is in such a turmoil is because we as Christians are slack in our discipleship. Jesus calls every single one of us to be his disciple. And you see, he doesn't call everybody to stand in the pulpit and be a preacher. He doesn't call you to do the Earl's job. He's got Earl to do that. But he calls you to do something. He calls every single one of us to do something. And let me tell you this. What Jesus has called you to do, what the Holy Spirit is working in your life, allowing you to do, and hopefully causing you to do, whatever it is, if you are answering God's call, whatever you're doing is just as important as what Earl is doing. Just as important. Just as important. When you go out and you minister to someone and you tell them Jesus loves them, it matters. It makes a difference. And I'm going to give you just one personal example of how what you do affects people. I went to visit someone in Richmond in the hospital, MCV. And they told me, this was a member of my church, and they told me, so-and-so is in up such and such department, and he's had surgery or whatever. I didn't know him. I didn't know who in the world he was, but he was from Brunswick County. So I said, well, I got a few minutes. I go by there. So I went by there, went in, talked to him. He wasn't feeling too well, but I talked to him, and I talked to his daughter. And while we were in there, he coded. His daughter screamed. Nurse came running. And in just a moment, the room was full of people working on him, trying to save his life. And God got involved, and they did save his life. God got involved. I walked out in the hall because I was in the way. In a few moments, his daughter came out. I didn't know her either. I'd never seen her before. She came out and she hugged me as tight as I've ever been hugged in my life, and she cried on my shoulder. Her father had been revived, thanks to God. She hugged me for at least 5 minutes, as tight as I've ever been hugged, and she cried for 5 minutes. I don't know how long. It might have been 3 minutes, might have been six. I don't know how long it was. After he had gotten settled down and stabilized, I came home. Last week, that lady had a reason to call me about something else that was going on. She was helping someone else. She was being a disciple. And she called me. She remembered my visit to the hospital when her dad was dying. She thought he was dying. He's at home now. He's okay. But she thought he was dying. She remembered my being in the hospital. Now, the only reason I was there is because God said, Tom, you didn't got anything else to do. Go upstairs and see the guy. So I went up there and saw him. Nothing to do with me. All to do with God. That young lady needed somebody to hug that day. And she needed somebody to hug her back. She needed somebody to stand there and hold her while she cried. And God sent a person to do that. I did not do a single thing extraordinary. I was just there to let her cry on my shoulder. That's how we ought to be disciples, is to be there when God sends us and to listen to God and go when he tells us to do something. You see, folks, God talks to us all the time. If you say he'd never talked to me, you're wrong. He does. Sometimes we just don't listen. But in order for us to be the true disciple that God wants us to be, we need to listen. We need to listen. Jesus said, after I'm gone back into heaven, the Holy Spirit's coming. The Holy Spirit's going to come and give you power. Give you power. Every single Christian in this place today has a million times more power than Satan does. Each one of us has a million times more power than Satan does. Satan has no power compared to the power that the Holy Spirit has brought to us. Satan doesn't have any power. He can't overcome us. Jesus won that battle on the cross. Then he got up out of the grave. Who won? Jesus won. Oh, I could just go on and on, but I won't. But I know you all are getting hungry. But let us have revival this week, and let it just continue to go. Let it go on forever until Jesus comes back. Let our revival this week not end Wednesday night. Let it continue. In preparation for our meeting this evening, I would like for you to read Acts chapter 2, the first part of it. Read however much you want. Read on down to from the first verse on down to through 13. Read those verses today sometime before this evening, and let's talk about those tonight. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given us, your children, to come into your house today to worship you. Father, let all that we do and say and all that we have done and said be pleasing to you. Father, let us take your word. Let us study your word. Let us discern your word as you would have us to know it. Father, bless us. Bless this church as they go through this revival this week. Bless the pastor. Bless his wife. Bless all who struggle and work so hard in this church to make it what it is. Father, I ask that you make this church, Ephesus Baptist Church, the beacon on the hill that will draw people to you. I pray that you would disciple all of the members of this church to do even more to carry your message to all the world and to witness to those around us. Father, we ask all these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 279, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Invitation is open for whatever decision you may need to make today. If you need to make a decision concerning your salvation, if you need to come to Pastor Earl and tell him that you support him in what he's doing in the ministry in this church, if you come, just care to come and just tell him how much you love him, come and shake his hand this morning as we stand to sing hymn number 279, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.